Welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast with Pastor Paul White. This 5-minute podcast is designed to reveal to you the loveliness of our Lord Jesus.
Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast. Acts chapter 18, Paul's in Corinth, and the Jews with one accord have rose up against Paul and brought him, this is the end of verse 12, to the judgment seat. And their accusation is that he persuades men to worship God contrary to the law. Before we get into the accusation, let's talk about the judgment seat for a moment. This phrase, judgment seat, is one Greek word translated bema, a noun that is often translated judgment seat. In fact, it's only used 12 times in the Greek New Testament, and 10 out of 12, it is judgment seat. For instance, its first usage is in Matthew 27 when Pontius Pilate sits down on the judgment seat and his wife says, I don't want you to have anything to do with this man, Jesus. That's used that way in Matthew and in John. Acts uses this word a lot. It's used it back in Acts 7 when it translated as a strange phrase. The only time in the New Testament it's translated this way, to set your foot upon. And that's way back in the Acts 7 sermon delivered by Stephen, that great left-to-right chronological retelling of Israel's story. And he was talking about Abraham and the foot, him setting his foot on his inheritance. But for the most part, it's judgment seat. Paul will use this to his most famous in his most famous turn of the phrase in 2 Corinthians 5. When he tells the Corinthian people that we're all going to appear before the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ. Now, it's interesting to me that Acts 18 is dealing with the Corinthian people, and we see the phrase judgment seat. And then in 2 Corinthians 5, we're definitely writing to the Corinthian people, and we use the phrase judgment seat. So Paul's literally standing in front of the judgment seat of the Jews to take account for his teaching. And Paul would eventually someday tell the same Corinthian church that they would appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Where I think we make a mistake is when we assume that in Romans 14, when Paul talks about not judging one another because we're going to stand in front of the judgment seat of Christ, and in 2 Corinthians 5, when he talks about staying in front of the judgment seat of Christ right before he tells us we're new creations, we have for too long assumed this is some actual event that will happen, you know, a million years out in the future, 1,000 years out in the future, where we're all going to march in front of Jesus sitting on a throne. And I think that Paul is using the phrase in a way, he's using something they can understand, that they appear before Christ, that it's Christ who is their judge. They are not one another's judge. It's Christ who's had the judgment committed to him. Remember, in Acts 17, when Paul's in Athens, and we talked about this just a few days ago, he says it's the time of ignorance God overlooked, but commands all men everywhere to repent because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. So Paul is talking about man facing Christ with Christ being the righteousness of God. And any judgment that's going to happen against humanity is going to be filtered through the righteousness of the cross. We're going to be judged not based upon the stuff, but we're going to be judged based upon who, what we've done with Jesus. Remember, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit is going to convince us, convict us of righteousness because he goes to the Father and we don't see him anymore. Tomorrow, we want to talk about what the actual accusation is. This fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law, and we'll get into the details of that. On tomorrow's podcast. Until then, grace to you. God bless.
Thank you for joining us for the Deeper Daily Podcast. For more information on our ministry, visit www.paulwhiteministries.org.